And welcome to another Nameless Review Show 7, episode 19, I think. I may be wrong, I've been wrong the last couple of weeks, I don't really care. Just another number to add on. Today's show I have Suave and Tim.
Hey.
How's it going?
Do have did pick up what is it? Sorry, brain messed up. But that's nothing new. Guild Wars new last weekend, so I go do a basic review of that. Go into it more as I continue to play. And see here. Do any of you have anything to go over today, or...?
Yeah, I was going to cover the new kind of survival planet exploration game called Planet Explorers. Currently in its free alpha stage, and I was going to do a really brief rundown of the Family Guy MMORPG. Yes, that's right.
Alright. So, going with Guild Wars 2 then. Again, I've only been...
Awesome, I said.
Again, I've only been playing for, I think, 3 or 4 days at this point, so... be a rough review. See. For those that have played the first one, this game is quite a bit different. Pretty much, as far as I can tell, they've... only thing they've really kept is the world itself and the character classes. On the first one, I believe you could only play as one, or as human. On this one, they actually have multiple races, and you actually level up to 80 instead of just 20, and it's the actual whole world. Let's see here. Let's go over the races first of all. Of course, there's the humans again. Although, one thing I like about the humans in this one, according to the story and all that, pretty much the humans have kind of got the rough end of the deal in over the pretty much time before this game. They've been wiped out and pushed back to one kingdom of left for the humans. So they've kind of been getting their asses kicked. The new races you can play, there's the Char, which were, I believe, the bad guys in the first one. Pretty much kind of hyena, animal type people. Don't know too much about them. They do have a neat looking city, though. Lots of steampunk style and that in theirs. There's the North, sorry if I get these names completely messed up. Nern, that's it. Pretty much they're Nordic Viking style people. Similar to humans, except for they're giant. Well, not giant, but big. More like 8 to 9 foot tall people that like to drink and kill stuff.
They pretty much sound like Klingons, hey?
Well, think of Vikings. but bigger.
Fair enough.
There's the Azern, I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce their name. They're pretty much the little small tinkerers, pretty much this world's version of a gnome. Haven't really spent too much time around them. Let's see. Then there's one of the classes I've been like, or races I like, the Savari. Again, sorry if I'm messing up the names completely. But they're pretty much a brand new race to the world that I think in story-wise, they've only been around for 20 years or so as a race. And they're pretty much sentient humanoid plants that all come from the pale tree. I believe that, yep, that's all the races. Then, again, the classes are pretty much the same as before. There's elementers or elementists, all your sorcerers or magic people that make stuff go boom. There's the necromancers, thief, warrior, guardian, the mesmers that use illusions, engineer. I think that's a new one for this. They started engineer. I haven't played much with that character though, but believe they can put up like a turret depending on their loadout and pretty much use odd gadgets. See here. The world itself is more of the classic MMO where it's just a one solid open world. Which, as far as I've done exploring, the world itself is quite neatly put together. Haven't really seen any two places that really look the same. Although a lot of the time I've been playing as a Sauron, which their starting area is a giant jungle, which haven't found the exit to that yet, other than the warp gates. See here. The crafting on this is pretty much for the standard part is the basic crafting, nothing too special. Standard, put in ingredients, get out the end goal. No real random thing. They do make it a lot easier to grind out stacks of stuff. So instead of wanting to smelt 20 ingots and you just having to wait there, it will slowly fill up for the first couple ones, then I'll actually just speed up the process and spit the main bulk of them out quickly. Which makes it a lot easier if you're crafting stuff instead of making all the components and whatnot. Also, crafting ingredients, you can, at any point in the game, you can actually send those to a separate storage thing, which you can only put certain items in, but it kind of keeps those off to the side so you don't have to clutter up your bank with all your basic ingredients. See here. Talking about the banks, bank is shared across all your accounts, which is nice for transferring stuff. Let's see here. Sorry if I'm kind of going over this oddly.
Oh no, it's fine.
See. But as for the crafting, that the basic ones, the leatherworking, armor, smithing, weaponsmithing, hunter, which is your bows and guns. There's, what is it? Autofasher, which is your, makes your staffs, tailor and so forth and so on. The cooking one is a bit interesting since actually the recipes seem to be more realistic recipes, so like one of the things I made was a blueberry tart where I mix water, wheat, or flour and all that to make the dough, then add butter, blueberries, and all that for the next step to make the tart. Again, also, when you, for the crafting, as you level it up, you don't have to go buy recipes or find them. You pick up a few basic recipes as you level, but one of the main things is there's a discovery tab in it where you, any item in your inventory, not in your bank or collection, but collectible or crafting material storage, will pop up there if you have the right level to use it, and it's usable in an undiscovered recipe. So you kind of go through, throw an item in there, see what other items in your inventory would go with it, and if it, all the items work together, it'll give you a prompt telling you that you can use these to craft an undiscovered item. So you don't waste any items doing it, but kind of have to figure out what would go with what. And that's for all of them, so like trying to make a new suit of armor, you'd get the basic ingredients for the level you're using, and like the chest pattern of cutout and leather and so forth. Then just throw on a few odd things and see if it actually goes together. Which, yeah. So, I don't know. It's a nice, simple, right, well, not really too unique, but gives crafting a little bit more interest than just, well, I just got this recipe and that. Just need to get the items now.
Sounds like it's a lot easier than a lot of the games are.
Yeah. It's like easy mode crafting.
Also, one of the things I like, it's you're not restricted by having to grind, go trying to get a rare drop just to make one item, or which you have to do in some games. I think Aeon was like that, where all the good recipes were dropped off of monsters.
Yeah, and they're really rare, and it was just, it was a pain. It's like that to an extent in WoW. It's not quite as bad, yeah, but it's still pretty bad, especially for some of the high-end stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I like it. I don't know what the high-end crafting is. Again, I've only been playing for a little while. But made for a character so far, most of them are low-level, but over the 4 days of average playing, I think my highest character is almost level 20.
Out of what?
80 is the max currently.
Now, I kind of hope that some of the high level recipes and stuff like that are rare drops. Because, like, that sort of thing is actually pretty important to me in an MMO, because it gives you something to work towards. And if it all just comes too easy, you're going to lose interest. Like, I remember one of the most rewarding things for me in WoW was being able to build my Goblin Chopper as an engineer. And that was that was a ridiculous amount of work to get all of the materials and recipes and, like, be able to get that and put it together.
And, 12,000 gold.
Yeah. So this is, like, long before it was easy to get that sort of money. But, I feel like there should be things that are really difficult to get. Because it makes the game more fun.
Again, I've just started, so this is just the rough version.
Fair enough.
I've been enjoying it so far. And for those that don't know, it is free to play once you buy the game, so it's more of a, well, not really free to play, it's subscriptionless MMO, or I don't know if they have a name for, I don't know. So once you buy it, you can play it whenever. There is real money stuff you can buy. From what I've seen of that, all there really is there is vanity items, XP bone or booster or limited boosters. So you can throw a couple dollars to get an XP bonus for the day or so. I don't know exactly how long they last. Then the only thing that I actually see of any value in that is, well, you start out with 5 character classes, but you can, if you want more than just 5, you can pay Burma. I believe they're not too expensive. So, can't remember exactly what they were. I think they rounded out to $3 for a new character slot. Don't know what the max is on those. But, again, if you have more than 5 characters, or need more than 5 characters, throw in a couple bucks, but no, isn't too bad, but nothing I saw on that sells gems is actual what equipment wise, so doesn't seem to have any pay to win aspect to it. One more thing. Guilds in this game. Again, it linked through all your characters. So if you join a guild as one of your characters, all your characters will be in the guild.
I don't know if I'd really like that.
Well, yeah. You can also be in more than one guild is the thing.
Oh, okay.
Because how the guilds work, you actually, as you do stuff, your guild gets influence. But you can only have one, well, they call it represent in your guild. You can only represent one guild at a time. So, let's say you have a guild for your friends that you just hang out most of the time, but I would have a raiding guild you play with on Tuesdays or whatnot. You just switch to the raiding guild for the raid and then go back when you're just hanging with your friends. Which, that I actually like, since At least I think it's somewhat interesting. Let's see here. As for the influence, pretty much you get it from doing events with other guild members, doing dungeons and that, PvP, and what that unlocks is you can unlock more bank storage for your guild, unlock the ability to create, temporary bonuses for your guild, which those in themselves still cost influence to make, but so I think one of them is like a 30% XP bonus for a day for all members, but that's one of the high-end ones.
So how is, say, the characters in this one in leveling up different from, say, the WoW characters?
What do you mean by leveling up? Just the speed or the...
Well, in general, I mean, is it similar to WoW, or, I mean, is it a copycat of WoW? Is, you know, think it's funner than WoW? What's your opinion of it?
I haven't played WoW in maybe 3 years, so... leveling up and all that seems... I believe it's a little bit faster than WoW, but I really don't know how to compare it too much. You do get skill points to unlock some of your class skills, and again, I haven't fully... There's a few features. There's one thing that kind of like a talent that I think it just increases your general stats with points. But I haven't gotten to that point yet. I don't know. I haven't really... Well, it hasn't felt like a grind at all, in my opinion, but...
Well, WoW's not a grind anymore until you have to get... until you get to higher levels.
I wasn't saying that it was, but some MMOs do. Because, yeah.
Alright.
In my opinion, yeah. WoW really wasn't a grind until you pretty much get endgame and have to grind out your equipment. But again, right. I don't know what endgame is like in this game, so... Hopefully, once I get to that point, I'll... It'll do a good fill-in on that more, but for the main part, I've just kind of been enjoying exploring the world, which is one of my more favorite things to do in an MMO, just wandering.
And how's the graphics in this game?
The graphics are quite nice. Not top tier like Terra was, but definitely not. Well, it's definitely on the better end of graphics.
I watched some of the gameplay videos from it. I haven't actually played it, but it definitely looks like it's very polished. But it's as far as like the quality of the graphics is pretty standard for any of the MMOs that are coming out around now. Nothing really makes it stand apart, but it doesn't look bad at all.
Not better than some of the free-to-play ones I've messed around with, but definitely has the look of a full-fledged MMO, though. Again, I haven't played WoW in a while, so I don't know what their graphics currently are.
It's hard to compare it to WoW 2, because WoW kind of has that cartoony feel to it.
Yeah, that's
something cel-shaded, I guess.
Let's see. I think that... Oh, another thing in the game itself. There's random events that go on. Well, they're not really too random, but they just kind of, when they start, are that kind of random, so. Which can be anything from just a kind of unique boss type thing to freeing people from a that were captured by spiders, which is kind of nice, but one of the downfalls with that though is even if you're just in the general area and the event is completed, you get a credit for it, which seems a bit odd, but...
But that doesn't detract from anybody else, does it?
No, which... Should probably also go over.
I could see a lot of people kind of like just rubbernecking, you know, like when there's a big battle going on or something like that, they just kind of go and watch and just kind of like go there and go AFK or something like that just so they can get credit.
Well, that will affect it actually.
Oh, it will? Oh, okay.
The difficulty of the event is affected by the amount of people there.
Right.
So if there's a large group and half of them are sitting on the sideline, will be a bit tough, but most people will hop right in since pretty much the way this one, well, it has stuff has ego and all that, but loot and experience isn't based off of what aggroed the monster first. So, let's say somebody's fighting a big creature and they're having trouble, you can just run up, help them kill it, and you'll both get your own separate XP and loot.
Right.
Which, well, that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Loot ninjas.
Yeah. Well, that and it also encourages people to help each other and... Not just, well, so you're fighting that already, so I'll go wander and get this one.
So. Yeah. Yeah, anything in an MMO that encourages people to actually work together, I'm all for, because that's one thing that I've definitely found lacking in a lot of MMOs.
Indeed.
We're like, yeah, you can work with other people, but it's not always to your benefit.
Yeah. Well, with this, it's more to your benefit since you're better for survival, but...
Well, you'll get more loot because you kill everything faster, but you get the same amount of loot.
That too. And yeah. So, yeah, I definitely like that feature since... Makes it more of, like I said, people more willing to help others.
Mm-hmm.
I see here, trying to think if there's anything else. I think that's roughly it for now. You know,
all right.
After I've actually played more than just 4 days, I'll probably go into it. No, but,
you done any PvP or anything yet?
No, again, my character is still low level, and
yeah.
I'm also not too big of a PvP fan.
Yeah, I'm not either, but it's sometimes fun.
I do know there is the PvP in it since there's the world versus world stuff. Which is pretty much server-based, and pretty much your server will fight another server's group.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know exactly how it works, but... Excuse me. There. From what I've heard, though, the maps can be quite big, since
Oh, okay.
I don't know if the for sure numbers, but from what I've been reading before launch, I think they were planning on having where it's like several hundred people can be in those world versus world maps.
Oh, wow. That would be pretty epic.
And also, one thing, there's kind of the theory of the is okay. Haven't really had too much problem with it. Sections in the world are level based. So, for the main part, if you're in that area, it's if you're a higher level than the area, it will nerf your stats down to the max level for that area.
Okay.
Like if you're 70 and you go to the 35 zone, you're going back down to 35.
Yeah. You'll still be stronger off since you'd have higher equipment and that, but makes it so going back it isn't just you're destroying the place walking.
Kind of, I guess, just to remove the possibility of power leveling and stuff.
Yeah.
Nice.
But also with the... Well, it does make going back and playing with friends that are lower level and getting them along more enjoyable since still makes a challenge. And I believe you still get loot based on your level, well, your actual level versus the area. So it still makes it worthwhile to hang out with friends in a lower level area. Although I think the only thing is you just don't get as much XP. So, again, I'm still in the lower area, so haven't really found too many parts where it'd be a major difference in the levels so far, but again, it doesn't really seem to be too much of a annoyance since if you're a higher level, you have the better gear, so it's still easier, but it's not a cakewalk going through them.
Right.
Let's see here. I think that was it. But, and I'm still playing it, but so far I'm enjoying it, and I'll definitely say it's out of 60, it's well, $60. Definitely 30 plus. I have to wait and see for longevity wise, but I'm liking it so far and don't really see it changing too much for my opinion, changing too much unless they messed up the end game content, but with the world versus world, it definitely sounds interesting, and there is endgame dungeons and all that too, but don't know how much or what those are like yet, so when I figure that out, I'll finish the review. And now I need to not take a break from talking, so you want to go into the World Explorer.
Alright. First off, just before I hop into that, I'm just going to do the Family Guy one real quick, because it doesn't really bear much to mention. I stumbled across this. I didn't even know it existed when I was looking up for gameplay videos for Guild Wars. I saw this Family Guy MMORPG.
Guild Wars and Family Guy. You know,
I just had to see what the deal was, because really, like, a Family Guy MMO, that just seems kind of retarded. So I went and looked, and, you know, it's free to play, it's like web, it's a browser-based MMO, so, you know, it took, like, all of 5 minutes to register and get an account to give him a fake email address. Didn't even have to confirm or anything like that. So, you know, it was easy to get into. And it's, you know, I went in with real low expectations. Like, bear in mind, this is Fox that developed this game. They're not exactly known for developing video games. And it definitely shows. Like, it's kind of interesting. Like, they actually have a pretty good art style. Like, it's definitely the Family Guy universe. The character creation's great. Every single character you make definitely belongs in the Family Guy universe. You know, you get to go explore the Family Guy house and all that sort of stuff. But really, as far as the gameplay goes, it's like, okay, go talk to Stewie. Stewie sends you to go, like, beat up this cheerleader. Now, mind you, I played this game as a grown adult man, and I was beating up, like, 13-year-old girls in a school, which seemed a little bit weird. But, yeah, it's like, go beat up this person, get their, like, megaphone or something, bring it back. Go to this house, get this thing, bring it back. Go get this, bring it back. So it's basically fetch quest after fetch quest after fetch quest. You might have to beat up a child along the way. So, like, that's pretty much the entire gameplay right there. Like, that's it. That's the game. So, yeah, you know, like, it takes 5 minutes to get into, and it'll probably keep you entertained for, like, half an hour, just kind of, like, they reward you with, like, video clips for beating missions, and, like, everybody's got little quips to say and stuff like that. But really, like, I couldn't really recommend it unless you're, like, absolutely bored out of your mind and have nothing else to do for the next half hour. So with that out of the way, amazing game that I came across this week is called Planet Explorers. And, you know, like, I try to keep on top of indie games and, you know, especially, like, the survival crafting type games. And this one completely came out of the blue, and I gotta say, it's amazing. It's, kind of, it takes place near 2287. And basically, you're the first colony ship that's ever sent out by Earth. And you go to a star system real close by. And as the ship's going down to land on this planet, it crashes into this alien artifact and, you know, spirals out of control. All the life pods launch. Your life pod lands somewhere on this planet. And, you know, you wake up and the game starts. And, you know, you go out and you, like, punch some trees, get some wood, and, you know, like, learn how to create, you know, tools and build structures and defensive buildings. And, like, there's even, like, it seems like there's a mini game in there, like a turret defense type game where you learn to build, like, you build a structure and you build defensive things, and you can actually build, like, what's like a monster beacon that attracts the creatures. And you kind of defend yourself. But it's a massive, massive world. Very varied landscape. Lots to explore. It's actually a voxel-based game. You know, like, Minecraft is a voxel-based game, but it doesn't look like a voxel-based game. It looks like, you know, regular landscape, like out of Crysis or something like that. It's very, very smooth. It kind of reminds me, I don't know if anybody remembers this game, there's this game called Outcast back from the 90s. And it kind of reminds me of that. It's a very interesting world to explore. Very unique plant life and animal life. The animal life actually reminds me a lot of Avatar. And some of these creatures are just massive, too. Like, you're walking along the savannah, and all of a sudden, out of the fog comes this big, massive 30-meter-long behemoth. It looks like a land shark or something like that. So, you know, I really like the creatures that they've come up with. You know, it's the early alpha. Like, it's the alpha 0.2. So it's literally the second iteration of anything that they've even released for the public. So it's extremely buggy. Currently, they've only completed probably maybe 5% of the landmass. There's only a couple of quests to do. It's kind of like an open-ended crafting game, but there are quests to follow that kind of, because there's this, it seems like there's going to be a story that you follow where you figure out, you know, what's going on this planet. You know, it looks like there may have been aliens here in the past. There's some ruins you run into and stuff like that. So it seems like there's going to be somewhat of a story that you're going to uncover. While at the same time, if you don't want to do that, you can just go build yourself an epic massive fortress and, you know, conquer the world Minecraft style. It's right now you can download the alpha for free. You don't have to buy anything. And it's definitely worth checking out. Like, I probably spent like a good 6 hours on it here this weekend. I quit because, of course, like I said, it's really early and buggy. And I picked up a mission from a guy. And this mission gave you a reward of a recipe for something that you need to progress in the game later on. And before I completed that mission, I picked up another mission from the same guy, and it overwrote that initial mission. So it actually broke the game for me, where I couldn't even progress. So really, like, at this point, only complete one mission at a time from any given person. But obviously, like, it's super early. They're going to be fixing all of that. They're actually coming out with the Alpha 0.3 in the next day or two, and that's actually supposed to clear up a huge number of issues and add all kinds of new materials and stuff like that. So it looks like they're actively developing it and coming out with new updates on a really consistent basis. And I really, really recommend that you check it out. It's called Planet Explorers. You can find it on indiedb.com.
Sounds interesting. Yeah, just downloaded the 0.2 version myself, so I'll probably give that a try when I have free time. But see here for future, for future stuff. Borderlands 2 comes out tonight. Pretty much, so probably be playing that, and hopefully won't stay up too late for work. Churchlight 2 comes out Thursday this week. Don't know if I'll be picking that up right away, but eventually I'll most likely be picking that up too. Why do games have to come out all at once? Oh yeah, actually I think it just came out earlier that enhanced version of Baldur's Gate, I believe, should be out by now. Supposed to come out this month. Probably check on that since looked pretty neat. Never really played it back in the day, but they pretty much cleaned it up and added some more content. I think that's it for stuff I've been looking forward for. Anybody else have anything to say before closing the show?
That's pretty much all I got.
Yeah, I do. I'd like to talk a little bit about WoW, if I could.
Alright.
WoW's come out with a, of course everybody knows they're getting ready to come out Pandaria, in case you don't know, which is being released on the 25th. And they just started with the scenarios today, which give you a chance to get item level 384 gear, helping you attune to what's coming up. I've played the scenarios. They are very, very well played. They seem to do very well. For those that are interested, it might be worth looking into. And the only other thing I'd like to talk about tonight is paying for playing or playing for free. You know, scenarios. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people about which one's better. I mean, my personal opinion is if you're going to get into a game, then why buy the game and then turn around and buy more stuff? as you're going along. Because, like, for an example, Dungeons & Dragons Online, well, a lot of people say, well, it's pay-to-play, and if I quit, I can always come back and always have it. But when you quit and you stay away for a while and you come back, then you still got to buy more and more content. To where if you was a pay-to-play, the content would be right there, and you always get bonuses in the game. I mean, I don't know the way you guys feel about it, but, and again, it's my personal opinion. And I'm not telling everybody you should go out there and do only pay-to-play games. I'm just saying you should look at your options and figure out which ways best suits you and your situation, because nobody's the same.
Well, you know, I'm going to agree with you in regards to pay-to-play. Like, you know, with MMOs, these are games where you literally are entertained for hundreds of hours. Like, this isn't the sort of game where you go and play for, like, 10 hours or something. I definitely think that, like, there should be something in there, like a trial or, you know, like a free-to-play period, you know, the first month is free or something like that, so you can check it out without being committed to give them your credit card number. But really, if you're actually playing any of these games on a regular basis, spending, you know, $10 to $15 a month is not the end of the world, especially considering the amount of entertainment you get out of it. And generally for me, like, I've got a $1 an hour entertainment target when I'm getting into games. As long as I'm getting, you know, an hour of entertainment for every dollar I spend, I'm happy. And that's more than covered with any MMO that I've ever paid to play.
I think I'll just invade your show here, BSC, because I want to weigh in on this.
Go right ahead. Don't think I have the power to stop you, since you
have
control.
Well, no, if you don't want me on your show, I'll leave. I mean, you know.
No, just making a joke. Go ahead and give your opinion.
Well, if you think about it, game engines are not terribly unique entities anymore. Back in the Quake 2, EverQuest 1, you know, Duke Nukem 3D kind of era, the game engines were actually unique. Like, certain ones had better effects or better gameplay. And these days, if you want a game engine, you just go buy one. So the unique aspect of a game is not the game itself, the playability, it's the content. And with an MMO, I don't see it as being that different as having a subscription to, say, a premium movie channel versus just basic cable. You know what I mean? I mean, you're paying for more game content to come out every once in a while. And, you know, you can see this in MMOs. MMOs that don't update very regularly but charge too much are ghost towns and eventually go free to play just because it's the only way to stay in the stay going. Versus ones that regularly bring out new content, like World of Warcraft set the model and is still going to this day. And it's because content is king, because anybody can go get an off-the-shelf 3D engine and shit out an MMO in a couple of months. It's a question of, can you consistently provide a good gaming experience while running that MMO?
Yeah. Which,
I like the way you put that.
Just say it's all about whether or not you're actually getting something for your money. If have you paying a monthly amount and nothing's really improving in the game, or
yeah, then why, really what are you paying
it,
for?
Why that? Are you, yeah.
And you know, the whole, you know, when you get into the microtransactions, you know, that's just well, we've got to monetize somehow. The marketing guys are getting after us, so we're going to charge you for each little sword or spaceship or whatever in hopes that we can turn a profit on this thing, because from a network administration side, servers are expensive, and bandwidth isn't cheap either. So if you're running a very popular MMO that has a lot of traffic going on, you better be monetizing it somehow, otherwise you're going to be bankrupt pretty damn quick.
Yeah.
It's not like they're free to run.
Yeah. Oh, it takes a lot of money to run them. I mean, it does, especially the bigger you get.
Yeah, I mean, if you your average WoW realm is probably a rack of servers at this point.
Yeah, because how many people on a server and that. Probably.
Well, that and that, and they've introduced the instancing, and each instance was usually a server. Now they don't. I'm sure that they don't have their instance servers tied to one particular realm. They probably have them pooled, but I'm just, you know, for sake of conversation, you know, your average realm is probably a stack of 20 to 30 physical computers at this point.
Yeah.
All of those need power, proper environmentals, network connectivity. I mean, you know, so I don't have a problem paying $15 a month for a game of that scale if the content's there. But if I get bored with it, you know, it's not like your average first-person shooter where your community will set up the servers for you, especially when you're trying to control the content, because, again, that's where you make your money.
Well, they got to where now can when you join for a raid group, if you're within the same realm, per se, are a group of servers put together that you can actually cross realm and raid.
Yeah, they call those battle groups, don't they? Yeah, they used to.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's battle groups and there's LFRs now looking for raid, and looking for raid uses cross servers.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't mean to imply that they were actually... I'm for sake of conversation. That's the only reason I was using the example the way I did. But that said, you know, it's a good point. But I mean, you think about that kind of, you know, that means that there's a management server out there somewhere that's, you know, handling what players get connected to what servers. So that's yet even more overhead. So,
oh yeah,
you know, I mean, I totally understand the concept of charging. Now that said, what I would like to see, and again, WoW is the example here. I don't like the idea of having to pay $60 for a game and then charge the $15 a month.
Yeah.
The client ought to be free, and then you pay the subscription, or you pay for the game, and then multiplayer's free.
Yeah. Well, Pandoric Mountain, it was $40. I mean, well, they have lowered the cost to what it used to be.
Oh, sure. I mean, now you can go get the original game for like $1, right? Or is it free at this point?
Yeah, it's free. It's free play. And, so, yeah, the first 20 levels is for free. The, you catch them on, though, they're only $10 a piece, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that.
So it's, right.
Yeah. Well, the thing for subscription, like you were saying, the whole month, or the $60 up front for, I don't know, WoW. The base one is free, like you're saying, but I would think instead of the $60 up front, then them with just 1 month free, make it so if you either just the service is free and you pay the monthly subscription, or you have to have it so it's like pay $60 worth of monthly subscription, right? Well, to get the client.
Yeah, but it's the same concept as if you went down and bought a discount movie pass, let's say for an example, and you had to pay $60 a year for this discount movie pass, and then it gives you movie passes unlimited for $10, okay, instead of whatever it is going right now, I don't know, maybe $15. And let's face it, when you go to a movie, in reality, you sit down in the theater, and if you're really lucky, you get one that's pretty good to watch. You maybe not get bored of it, because a lot of them suck anymore, or there are a lot of recopies, and you're like, this just changed faces. And, you know, you sit there 2.5 hours, unless you get bored of it and get up and leave, and it's over with, at least with the games. If you pay your $15 a month, it's for the whole month. So, in reality, at 30 days a month, 50 cents a day, where else can you buy entertainment like that? That affordable?
Again, the monthly subscription, I don't mind. It's just, at least for some of the getting into a new one, that there's the $60 up front, then the monthly subscription tacked onto it, makes getting into new ones a bit
rough. Yeah. I understand that, but it costs so much. I mean, let's face it, nobody works for free.
I know.
Nobody works for free. I mean, you don't work for free. I don't work for free. You know, I want to get paid when I work, and so does everybody else. And then, I'm using this for an example. WoW versus DDO. WoW has grown tremendous compared to DDO because WoW does have that monthly fee. They're, you know, you get your first 20 levels for free, but after that, you got to go to, you know, a paid plan or a prepaid plan. And because of that, it keeps making the worlds bigger and stronger to where DDO is really kind of slaggy and slow, and it's, you know, hard to come out with content. And so to me, I mean, if you really enjoy a game and you pay a monthly fee, and just like you had said, there's an advancement of what's going on in the world, because we can all remember when WoW was level 60, you was capped out, and that was seemed to be had, you know, for the longest time. And then, you know, people started getting upset when they started coming out with the new content, and, oh God, I got to pay this much for it, you know, and why can't they make it for free? But, you know, them developers, it took them. I'm not a computer programmer, but I can only imagine what kind of detail you have to go into a computer to come up with the graphics some of these games have. I mean, it is just unbelievable.
They are as expensive to produce as most of your blockbuster movies.
Well, I believe it.
So,
but, you know, and again, it's personal preference, whatever a person can afford, not afford, what they enjoy, what they don't enjoy.
My personal thing, as long as the game's good and seems worth the value, I'll play it.
DDO's had monks forever. Pandaria on WoW is just now bringing out a monk. What's it going to be like? Everybody's up in the air. Oh, I want to get a pay. I want to get a monk. I have played the beta version. The beta version is it had its kinks in it when I was playing it. Does it make stuff better? Yes. Is the graphics in Pandaria better? Yes. Is there a good storyline to it? Yes. So, you know, I'm going to give it three thumbs up, and I'm going to say yes, it's well worth it. Play it if you enjoy it. I don't mean to be bashing on your show. I mean, I hope I'm not anyway.
Good discussion.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's my 2 cent worth tonight.
All right. Actually, that filled the rest of the show up to an hour, so good timing.
Oh, too bad. I was going to talk about Black Mesa.
We could extend it more if you want to wait off to next week. It's up to you.
Your show, man. Your call.
Probably, if you're going to be around next week, probably cover it then. Kind of could use a break.
Fair enough.
So, alright. Let's see here. Go over the shows. NR7 on Mondays now, and seeming like a regular basis, hopefully. As long as people don't start to hiding, putting snakes with tasers and whatnot around here. And don't ask how a snake uses a taser, it just does.
Put a little wire into its brain, and it takes about a week of training.
Let's see here, they're shooting the noise on Wednesdays with Big. Pio Deccan with maps on Thursdays. I think that's it, or am I missing something?
There's the Galaxy 15 radio site and the feedback form. Might as well go ahead and use that. We like getting feedback.
Yeah, be nice to actually hear what our listeners have to say.
There's also the Galaxy 15 Radio Twitter handle, which we've essentially automated. Every time we update the website, it tweets. So it's an easy way to keep on top of everything.
Alright. I think that's about it. So see everybody hopefully next week. I still haven't figured out how to put closing music in, so I'll end with silence.